And welcome back to another Sports Deluxe episode. I got my new co-host with me, Valdez Clark, and we're ready just to let you guys know what's going on around in the world. This is an all-around episode. We're going to be tossing around back and forth about some different topics and some controversial topics, also letting you know some updates about the sports world. Can't wait for you guys to listen.
Here, Valdez or Dez, whichever you would like to prefer. What's going on, man?
What's up with you?
Not much, man. You know, just quarantine life, just kind of working as much as we can and getting through everything. You know, the mayor, all that fun stuff is doing all right. So, you know, we're hanging in there over in the Beantown area. So let's get into the swing of things and talk about some new things. Obviously, everybody's been dying to hear some opinions on none other than Mr. Patrick Mahomes signing that huge extension. So the duration of the contract is actually 12 years. People didn't know he actually was signed for two more years and it's an extension. So that obviously means you add on 10 more years to the contract. So first things first, pretty impressive. Not going to lie. Great player. I think he's a little overhyped, but that's besides the fact that I think he still deserves almost every single penny of this. So Dez, what are your thoughts?
Man secured the bag, and I will never hate on a man for doing that. But for me, what was most telling was Andy Reid came out and decided to like flip the whole thing on his head. Instead of it being Mahomes getting that bag, he was like, well, in 10 years, that's not going to be worth a ton of money, that $50 million a year. We're seeing it in like every sport. Like 5 years ago, I think the maximum contract in the NBA was like 29 million, and now it's up to like 42. And every sport is having these like massive jumps as like the economy goes up and all these other factors that the NFL apparently takes into these cap ranges. And like in 10 years, this isn't going to be that much money per year. And when they get to that point, they'll have an all-star quarterback no matter what, locked down for a long time.
Right. And honestly, you know, it's a no-brainer for both sides to accept this deal. Patrick Mahomes, obviously one of the most elite players in the game, obviously top three quarterback, no doubt in anybody's opinion. And if you don't say so, you're kind of doing something wrong, or you just haven't watched football and you live under a rock. I mean, personally, I think the guy's a little bit overhyped, but he's still got a lot to prove as well. You know, I've seen quotes from people all around the world saying, hey, you know, like, we'd be surprised if he doesn't win another two or three Super Bowls. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But obviously, I wanted to talk about the last four to five guys who actually signed these big of a deals. So, Dez, I'll toss those five out there. Michael Vick, Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb, and Culpepper, and Bledsoe are the other two. So, obviously, those top three are more, I guess you could say, higher level. And then the bottom two are a little bit different. But what are your thoughts on those guys and kind of what's gone down through their careers and kind of how can this compare to Mahomes?
Yeah, I think what's the max? Like 6 years that any of them have?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the cap. Yeah, by the time year six happened for Favre, I mean, he was pretty much already on another team, so.
Yeah, it's like someone just hates long contracts in, like, upper worlds because Vic goes down for dogfighting, of all things. Not injury, not, like, normal people things, dog fighting, which is like as sickening as it is, like that's the craziest thing you want to hear, especially if you were a Falcons fan back in the day. Favre, we know he was passed up real quick for Aaron Rodgers. Man still had plenty of prime left, and they were like, you know what, we're going to take this young cannon of an arm and make him Favre 2.0. McNabb had like a similar situation, honestly, to Patrick Mahomes. Like, can of an arm. Kind of mobile, can take a hit, really flashy for his era. Was always crapped on for how flashy he was. And then, like, all of a sudden just, like, disappeared.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's like these 10-year deals have been, like, death sentences. Like, granted, these are all back in the early 2000s, but none of these have panned out well.
Yeah, and I think it's obviously a trend. And even in other sports, you see it as well when the guys get locked up for a long term. They usually don't make it past year six or seven or eight. I think especially for like Bledsoe's case And, you know, obviously Rodgers and Favre, there's been a situation to where they've had a guy behind them. So it wasn't as big of a deal for those teams to where they're like, okay, it's all right. Favre, obviously, they drafted Rodgers a few years after. I mean, I guess in that point, especially in the early 2000s, everybody's drafting best available. So I can't blame them for taking a stud quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who actually turned out to be one of the better QBs of all time as well. That's no credit to Brett Favre at all. I mean, he didn't want him there, and Rodgers didn't even want to be under him because he knew that Favre wanted nothing to do with him. And obviously, you know, Vic's situation is very rare. I mean, there's not many times that you get all elite level quarterback who's doing things that we've never seen in the league before. You know, obviously the greatest rushing QB of all time, Mahomes, and a few other guys have the potential to reach that, but it's very far. You know, obviously Jackson is the closest that we've seen to Vic in a long time, and so is RG3. And those guys, we don't know about them. There's still a lot of question marks, and Vic was able to do things that we weren't able to see, especially back then. So everybody kind of already looked at him with 10 heads. And the second he got arrested, that was just kind of like, whoops. Yeah, that's a sore black eye for the NFL, you know. And obviously, going back to Bledsoe, Brady behind him goes down with an injury. We all know the rest. Six Super Bowls later, Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. So, I mean, these contracts do not favor these players ever. But I don't really think you can blame Mahomes. I don't know if you saw the IG video of him the other day. He was on a boat with his friends and family, I guess you could say. And he jumped off the boat and, you know, obviously being happy about his contract. And I don't blame him, you know. I really don't.
Man is risking $500 million by jumping off that boat. What if he, like, falls a little weird, you know? Some weird, like, tendonitis forms because of that fall. He hits the water too hard. Shoulder's gone. What do we do then? Andrew Reed's got to put a lasso on that player right there.
Right. And obviously we saw this, especially towards the end of Brady's career in New England, when people were kind of upset about him jumping off cliffs, doing all this other stuff. I'm sure he has some sort of training regimen to be okay or be able to handle those kind of upper body issues or lower body issues or whatever. But it's definitely, obviously, you don't want to risk your career by jumping off a boat. So that's definitely interesting as well. I don't know. I mean, me personally, I think there's people that could go in his situation and do the same thing. You know, whether it's a Watson, Wilson, Kyler Murray, he still has a lot of room to grow. Or, you know, Lamar Jackson, same thing as well. I think there's players that could go in his situation and do pretty much the exact same thing. I don't know what you feel about that. But me personally, I do think that's kind of more of the narrative that I see. It's not impossible to go into that loaded of a team and with that great of a head coach and do the same thing.
Yeah, like Brady has won Super Bowls with nothing. And I love Tom Brady, and I'm a huge fan because we're from Beantown. But goodness, Bill Belichick is just, like, so smart. And the one coach who's ever given him an issue is Andy freaking Reid. Like, and if he stays with Mahomes for all 12 years of this contract, they might win 7 Super Bowls. Just with how, like, elite he is, how smart he is. Literally the only person ever to give the greatest coach of all time an issue.
Right. And obviously, like, they almost did it with Alex Smith. Out of all the people in the world, Alex Smith. You know, it doesn't make sense to me why people are like, oh, my gosh, Mahomes is like 10 times better than everybody else in the league. I think there's obviously a gap in skill, and he does make these crazy throws. But we've seen, like, Watson and Wilson and Lamar Jackson kind of do this on the same level. I mean, it's nothing new as of right now, especially if you look at it. I love the comparison between Wilson and Mahomes because if you look at it, Wilson goes out, gets paid, and what happens? The team slowly starts to fall apart. And what was the main factor of that? Wilson getting paid. So the more you pay your quarterback or more you pay your star players, the less money you have to spend in other places. Obviously, this whole Kansas City deal, we really don't know the structure of this, but they said it's not going to affect the cap too much. So I don't know if they're hitting some sort of other hidden money that they're using or what. But if they can keep the salary cap kind of unaffected. They can sign people like Chris Jones and some other safeties and stuff, more corners, more linebackers, and just kind of get the team all around. If they can do that, great. But if not, then you're going to see another Seattle to where it's just kind of a quarterback and they don't have an offensive line, don't have too many receivers, and their defense slowly starts to fall apart.
So you're saying it's like you think anyone of this new era of quarterback, whether it be the Deshaun Watsons, the Kyler Murrays, like no more pocket quarterbacks are not the wave anymore. If you want to become a new quarterback, you have to know how to run. You have to know how to make plays on the fly. Like it's, you want like this flashy, almost like shortstop when you're in little league, this coach's son, the kid who's going to make all the plays, all the moves, looks the best. Like that's the quarterback you want. That's the quarterback you're drafting. And I feel like Cam Newton and Russell Wilson were like the star of this era. And now like the people who've come in, like Patrick Mahomes doesn't look at half his throws. 5 years ago, he'd be crucified by any good quarterback coach.
Yeah.
You look at people like Russell Wilson, stop running around the backfield. You get hit too hard, your career's done. And now you go and look over at Lamar Jackson. And he literally put the ball behind his back once while being hit.
Yeah.
Like these flashy things that should not make a quarterback now are the way of making it. And I love watching this new era. It's extremely fun to watch. But it's just crazy to see it. And you think that any of these guys could do this? Like on the same level? Or are you saying like they could figure it out with such a good team?
I mean, for the most part, I really think they could do it on the same level, especially in Kansas City, out of all the places. I mean, you get drafted there and you kind of sit behind Alex Smith for a few years, or I believe it was a year and a half or year and three quarters of a season, comes in those last two or three games, lights it up because they're sitting Smith for the regular season. And, you know, he lights it up then, and obviously the next year gets the whole team handed to him. I think if you put people like Lamar in that situation with a Tyreek Hill and all these other weapons and Kelce and a decent offensive line and all-around great defense with the obviously coaches are insanely good and they know what they're doing with this talent. I really don't see why you can't have that happen. I mean, if you look at the exact same style of plays that other people in the league have, I mean, we've seen success with them shortly because, you know, especially with Watson over down in Texas, he only had one weapon if you really look at it, and the other weapon was always hurt. He didn't have an offensive line, always was under pressure. His running back was never there. His receiver was literally just DeAndre Hopkins, and now it's Brandon Cooks. Like, you're going to tell me he's going to do something with that? No, because that guy's always hurt as well. It's really going to be an impact of, hey, if I was to swap these two quarterbacks, I probably would have the same results for each of them.
Huh. What did you see? Randy Moss came out and said if he's on that team, he's catching 30 touchdowns. I'm assuming we're talking prime Randy Moss, but like current day Randy Moss could probably still do it on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the weapons around him, I don't see why he couldn't do the 30. Obviously, he did play with the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady, played with some pretty decent quarterbacks as well in other places, but he wasn't in his prime in New England, I'll be honest with you. And but 30 touchdowns is a lot. That is obviously a lot. That's a very high goal you can have. Nowadays is more and more often that people go for 2,000 or 3,000 receiving yards in a season rather than 15, 20 catches. And, you know, and I guess he could do it. I don't see why he couldn't. But if you take away another elite weapon, then maybe not. Who knows? What are your thoughts?
How would you like – I'm just thinking about it. When Moss played anywhere, they – played like almost Moss rules. Moss will have a floating safety and one-on-one man coverage. That was just like undeniably possible. If he's in this offense and he has one-on-one coverage, the entire team's scoring 30 touchdowns. If you can't double team Tyreek Hill and like they only like rush three at Mahomes sometimes so they could cover all of his weapons.
Right.
I want like the Patriots game during the regular season the year before was a masterclass by Bill Belichick of defense. And he's literally sending, he sent one person one play. had two spies just running along with Patrick Mahomes, making sure he's not running, also covering like flat routes and trying to cover the 15,000 weapons he has. And now they just drafted another one. It's just, I feel like you put any good wide receiver on that team, if you just like make the rich richer, they're already the fastest team in the league by far. It's terrifying. I don't want to be in the AFC anymore.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, obviously what they're building is specifically for Mahomes. Just kind of like what we're seeing over with the Ravens. I mean, they're specifically building the team around Lamar Jackson. And they admitted once they traded up to get back into that first round, and they were saying it was a full send. You know, it was something that they – that's what they're building around now. I mean, you look at what they have over there, Marquise Brown obviously getting closer to a top 15 receiver, looking like a legitimate number one. The Ravens are just one piece away from doing the exact same thing, in my opinion. You know, obviously I'm a little bit biased as a Ravens fan, but I mean, that's exactly what they are. I mean, like I said, talent-wise, they're pretty darn close. I mean, if you look at the stats, obviously throwing numbers aren't going to be there. That's also the different styles of play and different styles of coaching. You know, and it's going to be interesting, and Mahomes is Mahomes, man. So I don't know. It's definitely crazy to think about. And I personally would think that both of them are going to be back to the exact same spot that they are this year.
We are also like, I know we don't give Mahomes a ton of credit because his team is stacked. They are still both generational quarterbacks. Like they are.
That's true as well.
Like, Lamar Jackson, when he retires, will be the best running quarterback ever. Mahomes, when he retires, will have probably been the most talented quarterback ever. Just because he's doing it so young and there'll be such a long duration of his career. He's already signed for 12 more. That's a 15-year career already. And they're just setting them up for success. That, like, three tight end offense is so perfectly structured to for Mahomes, or not Mahomes, for Lamar Jackson's game. We have the speed kills team. And like you see that around the league with good front offices, not Bill O'Brien, the Houston Texans, building around their guy. With the Patriots, Brady never had weapons, but the defense was always top tier. He got Moss for a couple seasons. He had Gronk because they got lucky in the draft. His number one target for the past few years was what? Julian Edelman? A guy who can only play in the playoffs?
Right.
It's like the way that these teams have been built around these generational quarterbacks has been really fascinating to watch.
Right. Speaking of Patriots, obviously some big news a few weeks ago, Cam Newton signing with the Patriots for 1 year. I don't know if you saw the structures and stuff, but pretty much he's getting a lot more bonuses than he would contract salary. So obviously first things first, congrats, New England Patriots. We all kind of figured this was coming, especially people in New England. You know, we heard the media kind of talk about this about 6 months ago, 5 or 6 months ago, and then they kind of stopped talking about it. So we didn't think this was going to be a thing anymore. Obviously, they signed him again, or not again, but they signed him. And again, now we look at the Patriots and we kind of say, actually, we didn't expect this. So what are your thoughts on Cam Newton being in a New England Patriot? And have you seen the workout videos with him and N'Keal Harry?
Oh, we've all seen the workout videos with him and N'Keal Harry. When this happened, I was in my car, and I think I sent you a video, actually, of me just screaming Cameron Jarrell Newton. That is his middle name, in case you guys were wondering. No offense, but, like, who in the rest of the league let this happen?
Right.
He's gotten bigger with more muscle than when he was in his prime with Carolina. He's gotten faster with more muscle than his prime at Carolina. Now, if he comes back as Super Cam, the Super Bowl's already won. If he comes back as, like, okay, Cam Newton, who, like, tries to make plays and can make a couple plays, we'll make a playoff run. And if we get the Cam Newton of his last year injury frequency and all that junk, then we'll tank for Trevor. win-win situation, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't go wrong with signing a former MVP, especially at his level. And I think he's been sitting there for so long. He obviously, other people did offer him contracts, and we heard that noise. But it's just a matter of him kind of saying, hey, you know what? Actually, I prefer a better situation. And you look at what they have on the Patriots, and maybe it's not the best options in the world for him. But you look at the coach and look at the coaching staff and look at the history. Six rings, you can't argue with that, especially in the past 20 years. Like, you cannot argue with that. So, I mean, for a player of his caliber to finally get into a player-friendly system, you know, that favors players of his type, I guess you could say, you know, the ones that are kind of doubted against and people don't think will do anything in the league. I mean, the expectations aren't going to be high anyways. People are going to say, well, we're going to get an injury prone Cam Newton. That's not the truth. That's literally not the truth. If you look at what he's doing in these workout videos, he looks perfectly fine. And if you do get, just say, 75% of what we saw in his MVP year, they're winning the Super Bowl. And they're going to compete with any team in the league because it is the New England Patriots. And although they lost key pieces, they always have something up their sleeve. And like you said, I mean, if they do just happen to be really bad, they're going to go out and get Trevor Lawrence. So it's okay. Them signing the one-year deal, I was a little surprised. I was expecting maybe a four-year, three-year, two-year, maybe with, like, a team option. But it's one of those things to where, like, I guess, like, whatever makes the most sense, because you don't want to lock up a guy that's injury prone, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, it's one of those things. But obviously him and N'Keal Harry look like they're building some combinations. And I think the ceiling is the roof, as Michael Jordan would say. You know, seriously, I mean, I really don't – their only downfall is themselves at this point.
People just forget that, like, Cam Newton's MVP season, he went 15-1 by himself. He had no defense, like, 1.5 weapons, and just did it. Yep. And if we get that Cam Newton with a brilliant wide receiver mind and Julian Edelman, upcomer N'Keal Harry, if Mohamed Sanu decides to play like he did 2 years ago before he came to the Pats, that's a scary offense, and they're always known for having one of the best defenses in the league.
Right.
And as you said, if we get 75% of Cam's MVP year, that's like 95% of most good quarterbacks.
Right. I mean, honestly, like, you look at what they have on paper, it doesn't look good. But if you actually have a brand and you watch film and you kind of – you've seen them play games, if you swap Brady for Cam Newton, let's just say, like I said, 75% of his prime, you're kidding, right? Like, if Brady can scramble for 20-plus yards in a clutch game, just imagine what Cam Newton can do, you know? Like, let's be real. He's probably going for 50, maybe even 60 yards for a touchdown rather than Brady scrambling for 18 yards on an absolute broken-up defensive play. Like, you know? I mean, and nobody touched the guy either. So if Brady slid like maybe 5 yards early, Cam Newton's going to fight for those 5 yards. That's what he's always done. He did that in college and he's done that now. I mean, I really don't think if you legitimately put a half of an offensive line in front of him, which he already has, somewhat of a decent weapon, and Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry, they need a tight end, obviously, and they'll address that. Hopefully they'll get David Njoku, which we'll talk about in a second. But this team has so much potential again. And everybody was doubting them, saying, oh, they're going to win like 3 or 4 games. Now all of a sudden they're back in the picture for winning the Super Bowl.
It was so, I mean, the end of the dynasty.
It definitely was. I mean, you look at it, Brady was the dynasty, right? It's Belichick too. It's a two-way street. It's not just a one-way. And you know, it's definitely a front office thing as well. I'm sure Kraft wasn't excited to let go of Brady because that's the guy who literally brought the whole fan base in. It was not like – at the end of the day, let's be real. It says Brady on the back of the jersey, not Belichick. So, I mean, that's the main reason why people went to the games. People can love Belichick, but Brady's name is on the back of that jersey. He won those 6. So, I don't know, man. But speaking of trades, we have 2 players asking for him, and that would be David Njoku and Raheem Mostert. So, Des, you want to cover those 2 real quick?
Yeah. David Njoku is the Joker, one of the best tight ends in the league, put up great numbers with a terrible coach and an even worse quarterback. Showed everyone he was like a baby Gronk, and I know that's Travis Kelce's nickname. Don't at me. but he was looking dangerous. And now he's requesting a trade to get out of that awfully run organization. And another potential landing spot, places like the Patriots. I think the Ravens even were talking about, or like there's news that they might be putting in a trade request. Like they need more tight ends because this is just such a special player. He doesn't get pushed around. He plays hard. He's not injury prone. Like he's everything you want in a tight end. And he can block. He's like the best blocking tight end in the league. And that's just like the most underrated part of being a tight end. And he's now trying to leave. And if he comes to the Patriots will be the best team in the league. You can at me on Twitter, shakes_Desi. Like, come after me. They will be the best team in the league. Also with Raheem Mostert, they just went to a Super Bowl because of his legs. A good defense, yeah. And because of his running. It was not Jimmy Garoppolo's slinging the rock in the back. They threw, what, like three balls one of the games in the playoffs? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
You can't get away with that in this league, yet he was good enough to do so.
Right.
I don't know where he's going. Not many speculation things have popped up. But these are just two very special talents that they're letting request trades. Like, they can't be like, oh, you're staying here, or they shouldn't. But these are some special players who will be on new teams by the time the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you talk about David Njoku. This is a guy who's kind of been overshadowed his whole career. They went out and signed a different tight end in the offseason, Austin Hooper. I don't know if you knew that. But Austin yep. Hooper is very similar to his play style. And if you – let's be real. If you run a two tight end set, they're probably going to favor Austin Hooper more because they pay him more. And that's just a reality. I also prefer David Njoku because he's a younger guy, has more potential. And I mean, obviously, I'm a Miami University fan, so he came from there. But I think if you compare him to other tight ends in the league, he's a top five, maybe top 10 tight end. You know, you really can't argue that. And he's just been plagued with a terrible organization who took best available, which he was at the time. And they kind of turned him into nothing. I mean, I don't know how you can take that form of offensive weapons and do absolutely nothing with Baker Mayfield. It's the quarterback issue. It's an organizational issue. And I'd be very shocked if he doesn't leave. I don't blame him for leaving. Whether it's the Patriots or another team, I don't care. He just needs a new start. Just kind of what we saw with Atlanta trading for Mr. Golden Hair himself from the Ravens. I mean, this is one of those things to where you can be drafted into great situations or bad. And the Ravens, we know, is a run-heavy offense, so they're not going to pass the ball to their tight ends every play or every third down. So, I mean, that's kind of what you saw when they traded them away. And it's going to be a very similar situation. They're probably going to settle for a little less than what they should be getting. And we're just going to look at it like, well, the Browns are stupid, and Devin Njoku has a great job now.
And
Raheem Mostert, oof, man, what a stud. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. He's in the middle of the pack on where he needs to be. Deserves a lot more money, obviously, yeah. Drafted free agent. So you're already underrated. And you have a chip on your shoulder. So I don't see why not. I really don't see why not. Like you said, there's not too much that we know about these guys. Like where they might land. There's only speculation. So, I mean, I don't understand why we wouldn't be able to see these moves happen, you know?
The crazy part about, like, David Njoku is I'm kind of surprised, like, more Browns don't do this. We just saw Joe Thomas, potentially the greatest tackle to ever play the game, waste over a decade of his life playing for this joke of an organization.
Right.
If you're this crazy talent like David Njoku, Jus Landry, OBJ, like these all-star, Nick Chubb, get out.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, especially knowing, like, supposedly they were supposed to be a good team last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. You know, like, it's one of those things where everybody's like, hey, actually they might be good this year. And every year it seems like we say that they end up losing like pretty much every game. I mean, we saw, you know, last year especially was the most hyped up season we've seen the Browns in 30 years probably, you know. And what did they do? Absolutely nothing. They beat the Ravens once, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, here we go. Best Super team in the league. Pick.
They were Super Bowl favorites through week four.
Yeah, and you know, look what happened after that. They started facing more legitimate competition, and they crumbled. Let's be real. The Ravens at the beginning of the season did not have the chemistry they did at the end of the season. So that's the factor.
It was not that's the same Ravens team.
It wasn't. It really wasn't. If you look at what they did in the next game against the Ravens, they did absolutely nothing. It was just a Nick Chubb show, which it usually is, because that's all they can do is just run the ball with him. So, I mean, if you look at it, man, it's a terrible organization. At this point, you might as well get rid of it, or because it's kind of like what you look down in Tampa Bay with some of the baseball teams and stuff. Nobody goes to those games anymore. There's not a fan base. And if you meet a Cleveland Browns fan, you feel sorry for them. And you laugh, and you just say, well, that sucks to suck. Like, literally, that's all you can say. Because not a single person – will go up to you and say, hey, I'm a Browns fan. You're like, oh, congrats on that Super Bowl. You're like, wait, what Super Bowl? You know?
Yeah. Well, from one delusional organization to the most delusional quarterback in the league right now, you want to take it away with this crazy news from Matt Ryan?
Yeah, so Matt Ryan, obviously BC alum, so I do like him. But, I mean, he went on the Part of My Take podcast, Barstool Company, whatever you want to call them. And he went on there and kind of said some crazy things while he was being interviewed. He said that they could be Super Bowl favorites. He's not going to guarantee a Super Bowl, but he said he does want to make it to the Super Bowl this year. He also said he's the best quarterback in his division and the league. And he also went on and said he's going to win 12-plus games. So obviously, none of those statements are going to be true. That's just reality. They lost a lot of people in the offseason, but they also gained a few good players. But for me personally, it's just the Todd Gurley and the Mr. Julio Jones show at this point. Todd Gurley is a big question mark. Will we get arthritis knee Todd Gurley, or will we get prime Todd Gurley? Because if we get anything of prime Todd Gurley, we'll see them kind of emerge. And I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting, obviously. Freeman there still, I believe. So – Matt Ryan, maybe you shouldn't have said that, because that kind of lights a fire under Breeze, Brady, and Bridgewater, the three B's down in that division. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
He's just like the worst quarterback in that division. So I don't like Bridgewater and him are kind of a toss up. It depends if we get like Bridgewater, like the 4-game stint we saw that one year in Minnesota where he was lighting people up and it was just like unfair to watch him play quarterback. And like if we get like these small stints. If he comes as that quarterback, like the small stint we saw in New Orleans while Drew Brees was hurt, like if we get this like crazy consistent, uber analyzed quarterback, they're not close. Matt Ryan is dealing with two potential GOAT candidates in Tom Brady and Drew Brees. While Drew Brees hasn't won a MVP, he's been, I think, top five almost every year of his career.
Yeah.
Like, he is the definition of consistency. Tons of yards, air raid offense, not a ton of picks, great completion percentages. Tom Brady is the GOAT. Done. And, like, he's just not even close to top two. And you have to put in a good argument for number three.
Yeah.
And then saying you'll win 20 games. Oh, 12 games when you're playing 6 games against these stacked teams. You're lucky if you win 10 after losing all 6 to this.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you make games. We saw it last year with Earl Thomas when he said, I guarantee we'll be in the Super Bowl and we'll be seeing so-and-so in the Super Bowl. Usually those guarantees don't work out as planned. And let's be honest, if you guarantee something, you actually have to be able to put it up. And the track record for Matt Ryan just isn't the best. You look at what he did against New England in the Super Bowl. Okay, not bad, right? But the results, they didn't win. That's just the reality. So if you get a player like that, kind of saying, hey, we are going to go to the Super Bowl for the most part. You kind of put a target on your head or on your back, and you're already at the bottom of the division, let alone the bottom of the league. You have no expectations. So I guess why not? I mean, why not? People will say, you know, I guess that could light a fire under the team. Who knows? I really don't know. Speaking of crazy things people have said, I want to touch up on the Deshaun Jackson thing really quick. Went out on Twitter and quoted none other than Adolf Hitler. Probably not the best decision in the world. And he's had a lot of hate from a lot of people, rightfully so. Des, you want to talk about that for a few seconds?
Yeah. Really tough situation, especially with the world climate, where it's full about, like, loving everyone, making sure that every person's accounted for. And he came out afterwards. I'm not going to quote the actual quote because it's kind of tough to read anything from him or from Adolf Hitler and, like, still feel good about yourself. So I'm not going to read the quote, but it's a disheartening situation. Deshaun Jackson afterwards, like, apologized. Like, he was trying to uplift, like, the Black community. But in doing so, he just, like, was super anti-Semitic. And his apology, I'll accept it. People make mistakes. I don't like the idea that you make one mistake and you are done. It's not my role. And I think it was a very big lapse of judgment. And I've heard, like, a lot of people be like, they thought he got hacked. Like, you don't expect that to be coming out of Deshaun Jackson, the punt or the kick return guy. Like, you don't, it's such a weird situation. And I think that the greatest thing to come out of it, if we can call it good, is the conversation that has started with Julian Edelman. He came out and was like, hey, we all make mistakes, but I'll make a deal with you. And said he would bring Deshaun Jackson to a Holocaust museum, and he would go to a Black History Museum to start that conversation and make a public conversation so that good could come out of such a weird, weird tweet and backlash and just situation. Crazy, right, that we can be talking
and obviously,
in 2020.
Obviously, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you just look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, like, did somebody really just say that? And it's tough. You know, it leaves a black eye for a lot of people and maybe even the organization. And we didn't, if this would have been said maybe a few years earlier, it wouldn't be as big of a deal, I guess you could say. But you just can't be saying these things, especially with the recent events that are happening. Julian Edelman, credit to you, man. Hey, great job saying what you did. I love kind of the unity in players and just kind of stepping up. I believe there's a Pittsburgh Steeler that went on IG Live and was like, yo, like, bro, like, I don't know what's going on with you, but you clearly need to, like, reread history or something. I don't know the exact situation, so I won't go too much further. But, you know, obviously, like, when players speak up against other players, that's what we like to see. That's what we like to hear. And, you know, great job, Julian Edelman, doing both parts, saying, hey, you know what, take me to a history museum as well. You know, and it's a difficult situation no matter how you look at it. And maybe just censor yourself before you actually tweet something out, because it makes you look bad to a lot of people and probably isn't the best thing in the world to say. And regardless, if you think those things, maybe keep it to yourself, you know. But kind of switching gears here, we're going to be switching into the NBA talk. So we saw the bubble started. What are your thoughts on the bubble, Des?
It's such a crazy time. The bubble, like, all the players have to stay, but the people working there can, like, come and go, and all these crazy stipulations. They're being served airplane food to start it off. The NBA came out and said that was not going to be the normal, but it's kind of weird. And it's just, like, this time, I hope we never see anything like it again. It's weird to think that we have basketball and we're enclosing it in Disney World because there's a global pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, man, the bubble is definitely weird, and obviously we've seen people go out on IG and say X, Y, and Z. It's another tough situation because I don't think this is going to work. I think if you allow other people who actually aren't NBA players to come in and out of this bubble, regardless of serving food, delivery man, like whatever you want to say, it's not going to turn out well. Somebody's going to get sick. Once one person gets sick, you know the trends. Multiple people get sick. And you know, the older people or older players, they're going to want to go see their families and spouses and all this. And it's going to happen. You know, something's going to happen. There's going to be a big outbreak and it's just not going to work. Maybe they get through two games of the 8-game so-called regular season. And I don't think this is going to be a good idea. I kind of like what hockey's doing. They have two hub cities. They're spreading them out into a lot more hotels. It's not a bubble. They have two cities in Canada. And Canada's handled it a lot better than the U.S., obviously. And it's just another tough situation, man. It doesn't look good, if I'm being honest. And, you know, kind of switching gears here, players speaking up about this as well. And they're kind of disappointed in the league. And it's really not good to hear these players come out and say that, you know, because the fans are kind of like, well, we just want basketball. And then, you know, we look up to a guy like Adam Silver, and he's kind of been quiet about this whole situation. He says he's advocating for the people and the fans. And we haven't really seen that. If you're going to do a bubble, it's probably not best if you let everybody come in and out. You got to have a set staff, and they got to probably stay there as well.
So I agree with, like, the quarantine, but what about, like, the MLB, like, 60-game travel to home stadiums? Like, what is your opinion on all of that craziness? Because I feel like that's just, like, a huge cluster and mess that, one, is not protecting anyone, and two, is, like, receiving a ton of backlash, so I don't know why they haven't tried to do one of these bubble things or thought about doing a bubble
thing. MLB, the MLB out of anything is one of those things where they do a lot of things out of questions, but their main focus wasn't actually getting back to baseball. It was negotiating with the players on how much they had to pay them. I don't know if you saw that over the past 2.5 months, but some of these deals that they were offering were absolutely ridiculous. And I think it's a shame to the sport, and it's going to make people even not want to watch baseball anymore. Because if you have so much drama just about people playing the sport, nobody cares about that. They just want to see people play. We want to see our favorite players go out there and hit 20, 30 home runs in the season, maybe win a championship, maybe go on a good playoff run. We can be happy at the end of the day if they don't win, right? But we can't do that if there's a whole issue of them not being able to play. And traveling as a team right now, probably not the best. Especially going city to city. I know they have an isolated gameplay, and they're probably going to isolate them the minimal distance traveled, but it's still not okay. It's really not. And I think how baseball is handling this is the prime example of what not to do. Like I said, going back to Gary Bettman and the NHL, I mean, they have this perfect. They have, I believe it's 6 hotels throughout each conference, and, you know, it's not a bubble. It's really not. They have these set restaurants that they're going to specifically have players go to, and these restaurants are going to be taking temperatures of people and all that. So it's an isolated area. Like, they have areas of where they're going, and they don't have as much people out there. But what I've heard and what I've seen and what I've read is that, you know, the NHL is a prime example of what to do. Like we were just talking about the NBA and MLB, like, it's going to be a real big issue when you have one player start to test positive, and then you have a whole team that can't travel all of a sudden. And then you're like, well, the Red Sox are supposed to play the Dodgers, but, you know, so-and-so got sick, so the Red Sox actually can't play. They got to forfeit the game. They got to go quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, that's not a good thing to have. So, I mean, there's a lot of risk. There's a lot, obviously, no risk, no reward, but I'm not a fan of what they're doing. Speaking of Red Sox and Dodgers, David Price announced that he's not going to play for personal reasons and safety reasons as well. And speaking of the Dodgers, they traded with the Red Sox over the past year, let's just say. And obviously, David Price was a part of that deal. He's not going to be playing. Mookie Betts going to be playing how many games? 60. Maybe potentially 80 if they get all the way to the World Series. So, what are your thoughts, Des?
wow, they got screwed. The Red Sox got a ton of young pieces in that trade, and I will never condemn someone for taking their personal health into consideration, especially when their body is their paycheck. They get sick, and then other complications come, and then something happens, and their mojo's just gone. Like, they're, you ruin your body in this industry, and you're never able to come back. You're never able to come back, and you lose your paychecks. And I know, like, most of them are set for life. Like, Price got a one heck of a paycheck with his last contract. But you can't be risking people like Price. We also, like, don't know if he's, like, immunocompromised, and that's why. He's this tall, lanky dude. Like, he could be sickly, and we just don't know it because he's an athlete. And now that they're losing him out for his second to last year of his contract, Mookie Betts is playing 60 to 80 games of the last year of his contract. They lost this deal. And now it's just not coming up good for them.
Yeah, man. I mean, especially seeing how that Mookie's, like, potentially not going to play as much games as he's supposed to. And they knew he was a one-year rental, but the Red Sox kind of looking pretty good right now. I mean, I know I went on a big rant about it and very upset that they couldn't get Mookie deal done to stay in Boston for the rest of his career, which obviously is something that we were talking about earlier with Mahomes. But I think when you have star talents like this, there's no reason not to lock him up for long term. And obviously, Mookie Betts, nobody's going to argue that he's a top three player in his division, let alone the league. He has a great situation over in Los Angeles. And it's really unfortunate, man. You know, you look at what the Dodgers had to give up. It wasn't significantly much. Verdugo and a prospect, I believe.
Yeah.
And maybe some cast considerations. I think that was mainly the most part of the trade. You look at what they actually have left. Ooh, man, that's a sore. That's a scab you're pulling off, man. And it's tough. It really is. I can't imagine being that organization, being like, yeah, you know, let's go. Like, we had a great trade. We got Mookie Betts. We got David Price. Well, actually, you didn't really get Price for a year. And technically, you really don't get Mookie Betts either. Because even if they do win the World Series, man, I'll put it this way. Nobody's going to care. They're going to be like, well, that was quarantine year.
It's a huge asterisk. COVID-19.
Exactly. Exactly, man. So, I mean, it's going to be tough for them. And especially knowing that they couldn't get it done the past few years in the World Series, people are going to make it even worse for them. So, yeah, it's tough. It's interesting. Shout out to the Red Sox for actually making a good deal, even though we didn't think so. I'm sure Ron Renneke would disagree with us regardless. And yeah, I mean, it's a good move for, I guess, both teams at this point. Looking forward on the MLB season and stuff. It's going to be great. Hopefully we actually see them be able to play out with quarantine rules. Who knows? But yeah, man, I mean, I think another thing we kind of have to look at is the Houston Astros, obviously potentially only playing 80 games. Like, that's pretty much the maximum they're allowing. They're getting off easy, man. I don't know if you remember, but there's this whole cheating scandal. Same with the Yankees as well. Actually, kind of ironically, the Red Sox are tied into it a little bit as well. But these three teams are getting off easy. I don't like it. This whole situation is weird. And it's uncharted territories. And I think we obviously would have saw some people throwing straight at some of these Astros players. And they're getting off easy right now because playing potentially 80 games, they're not going to get hit as much. They might not even play as much. They can have an excuse not to play, you know? And it's going to be interesting, Dez. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like, their punishment by, like, rule standards kind of, like, small. But, you know, me and my friends were talking about the other day, like, who's going to be the first one to be in Altuve? Who's going to be the first one to take a 99-mile-an-hour fastball and throw it at his head? Because that, like, what they did was just so gross. Like, people always yell at Yasiel Puig about not respecting the heart of the game and not being, like, for the league and all these things. Well, they cheated. Yasiel Puig likes to stick his tongue out after getting doubles. They decided to take the game of baseball and say, screw your rules and cheat. what should never happen, especially at such a high level and with such a talented team. They honestly could have won without cheating. But when you do cheat, it's a guaranteed win. And the punishment, like, from the league was a couple management people got suspended and you lose some picks. But picks in baseball mean nothing. So they are now to punishment of what? Losing a couple potential prospects that wouldn't affect you?
Yeah, for the most part, man. I mean, you look at what they did, and it's kind of like the White Sox back in the, you know, back in the early days of baseball with the Black Sox and stuff. And, I mean, it's not good for the sport, just like for the steroid, like, kind of whole scandals and stuff. It's not good for the sport, and I don't think anybody's looking at them and saying, great job. I mean, they know what they did. They know who did it. They know who's wrong and who's right. You know, players coming out saying, hey, like, I actually – pitch there or stuff like that, like or pitch against them, you know, you can tell that they know what's coming. And you know for sure it's somebody in the crowd and banging on trash cans, having buzzers on you, whatever they're doing to cheat. That's not right, man. Because if I'm throwing a 95 mile per hour fastball down at your knees, and you know that, that's not right. That's not fair. Because I'd say probably a good 95% of the time we're going to beam that into center field. And it's going to be past 400 feet, and you're going to have a home run, especially when you have a talent like Altuve and others on that team, like Bregman and all those other guys. Like, it's really disappointing, especially seeing, you know, some people got their first ring over there. It really sucks for them, especially for the pitching staff who might not have known. Like, there's a legitimately possibility that they might not have known. Some people might not have known that they're cheating. Maybe they tried to keep it as quiet as possible, but when they lost Alex Cora, that's kind of when you could tell there's something different. And you look at the Red Sox, supposedly they cheated. We don't know if they did or not. They got their little slap on the wrist, and they said, probably not as bad, so we're going to let you guys slide. And we fire Cora. I'm going to be honest, we're probably going to end up getting Cora back anyways, so that's not that big of a deal. But, I mean, the Yankees supposedly cheated as well. That's kind of ironic seeing how they're the first people to put the blame on them anyways. So, it's all a whole big mess, man. And, you know, time will tell whether or not these guys will still be as good as they are. And we'll just laugh at them. Because, you know, if you're an MVP-level caliber player and you cheated, you're not going to be the same player if you're not cheating anymore, right? It's just common sense. So, you know, it's one of those things, and that's pretty much all I got. I mean, I don't really know, man. What about you?
It's just such a weird area. Like, to cheat at a professional sports level, I say that as a Patriots fan, to cheat as a professional sports organization, like this knowingly, I like to think that the Patriots-Bengals thing was genuinely them trying to videotape something for, like, some documentary. I'll take your word on it, Mr. Kraft. You have a buzzer that gives you a crazy distinct advantage. Like, it's not a slightly deflated ball, to use a Patriots reference. That makes the ball slightly easier to catch, but you still have to make the throws. And it makes it easier for the defense to pick it off. It makes it harder to fumble. A couple, like, loose things. You know the pitch that's coming at you, which is, you take out all the mind games of baseball. So it's basically a home run derby, and you just have to hit the ball. It's a big level thing for such a small punishment. And I'm, like, kind of disappointed that they weren't charged with more from the MLB. Especially right now, when it's like they're getting off scot-free because the season's not even real.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's one of those things where if you look at what the NFL has done punishment-wise, whether it's Josh Gordon, Tom Brady, or Michael Vick, or Ray Rice, I mean, you know, you look at what they've done, or even Colin Kaepernick, I guess you can say. But, I mean, you look at what they've done in the past, it's really one of those things where you look at the MLB, you're like, really, guys? Like, I thought you guys were supposed to be a good organization that doesn't have this kind of stuff going on anymore, keyword anymore. And when scandals like this happens, nobody comes out good. Nobody looks good. Nobody feels good. And Like I said, it's tough. I can't say they did or didn't cheat. I mean, it's kind of obvious that they did, especially if we don't know more about the Red Sox and Yankees. They could have done that as well. And I'm sure there's other teams cheating. It's just because they won that people got exposed. I'm sure it's not just one team in the league. Obviously, we've seen two others come out now. And I'm sure there's more. I'm really sure. And obviously, people were kind of like, hey, the Mets, you know, fire Beltran, because Beltran was up in that organization. And people were assuming that he was going to be cheating with the Mets. And let's be real, even with the Mets cheating, they're probably still not going to win. That's just a ride anyways. But yeah, man, I mean, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, it's one of those things we just got to keep repeating ourselves. There's really not much you can say or do. Punishment-wise, they went too easy on them. And they probably should have suspended people. Let's be real. It's a different spectrum from the NFL, obviously. But if you're going to suspend people for a whole year or indefinitely ban them in the NFL, why can't you do that in the MLB? I know they play 180 games. I know they play a lot. I know there's a lot of playoff series. I know there's a lot more people on the teams. But, I mean, if you look at it, you got to do something more than just say, hey, give me a draft pick and $1 million fine. Or same with the Red Sox. Give me your draft pick. Okay, great. Here's my draft pick. Okay, I can't get a top prospect anymore. Boo-hoo. I can just trade up and get another one if I really have somebody in mind that I really like. You know, it's like you really can't control that stuff. And I think you look at the commissioners and what they do for punishments, it's not right. You know, there's bias and there's favorites. And obviously, you know, maybe they knew about this earlier than what they actually announced. Who knows? But it's tough. It's a black eye for the league. And we just got to move on. Hope that this never happens again, you know?
Yeah. Gross situation with people cheating. What's your opinions on the ability for the NBA allowing kind of like a player's weekend type vibe, but instead of nicknames, they're getting like causes that they can put on the back of their jersey? What's your opinion on that?
Great by the NBA, man. Always a person of freedom of speech, even if I don't agree with you. Nothing wrong with that, you know. Whether they want to put a movement on the back or their own name or their friend's name or business that they grew up around, it's fine. Let them do that. You know, I've always been one for the players, and I want them to have what's best for them. And I think more now than ever, we've seen that it's a player's movement and people got to speak up. You know, you saw Jaylen Brown, Malcolm Brogdon, Patty Mills, other guys that peaceful protests that are able to lead an example for not just other people in the community, let alone the NBA, the MLB, like other sports. Like, they're the example of what you want to do correct. And just for them to speak up and just be able to say, hey, you know what, I'm taking that stand to do it the right way. It goes a long way for a lot of people. The younger generation are looking up to these guys now. And let's be real. These guys aren't the best players in the world, but they are having a great impact on the communities. And it's just great all around. I don't think you can go wrong with this. I don't know. What do you think about this, Des?
Yeah, retrospectively, I don't know why they didn't do this earlier. The NFL has done something similar where you could do like the cleats thing and you could do like your mom or like breast cancer. Any cause you want, you could put it on your cleats, which is like this really cool thing because that weekend we would always get a bunch of photos of these sick looking cleats with like really powerful movements. And I feel like they drum up so much hype and energy, not only around the movements, but also for the league. Granted, the NBA is not in the same task of like the MLB where they could be dying out soon because the sport's hard to watch. But when you, this 8-game like World Series round robin thing that then goes into the playoffs is going to be intense. And now you add like people are going to want to watch this because it's going to be the first like full speed sport we get. And now you're adding this awesome ability, like have a voice, which they already have such huge ones, like put it out into the world, like spread love and like spread care to all. And like, if you are doing that well through your movement on the back of your jersey, you're killing it. So good job, NBA.
Yeah, man, and just kind of wrapping it up a little bit, you know, these guys are the ones that you want to see an example. Obviously, we've seen people with the Last Dance documentary. We didn't really know too much about that. But Jordan wasn't the most vocal guy in the world. People wanted him to speak up, and he never did. LeBron speaks up and people are criticizing him. You know, you see other people speak up and they get criticized. It's a tough thing and it's all political, and I'm sure we could get deeper into it, but we're not, you know, because in reality, we're a sports podcast and we'd rather talk about sports than politics, you know. But great move by the NBA. Last thing I wanted to touch up on, college sports, man, that we've seen a trend in the past few days. Big Ten's kind of playing only Big Ten games. Ivy League just completely drops everything that they're saying and doing and says, we're just going to cancel sports for our divisions and stuff. We're just not going to play anything until we figure out a spring system. All sports pretty much paused for college, I guess you could say. Practice facilities are kind of open. But what's the reality of the sports for college? Is none. There's really not, because you can't have guys move in. You can't have guys report early. There's only a certain amount of limits that you can have for these people. And kind of want to hear your thoughts on that, Des.
Yeah, college sports are always really interesting. No one cares till the playoffs. And I don't think I'm being too offensive by saying that, because March Madness and the bowl games and football are like the biggest things ever. College World Series are huge, but no one's like watching every regular season game unless you're like you're one of these diehard alums. And in that, if you're losing like the entire sports, that's like millions of dollars of revenue for these schools. Millions. Like, we always criticize the NCAA for like taking the likeness of these players and turning it into money. Well, now the NCAA is losing millions of dollars by not having a season this year because of this very unfortunate world circumstance. And I honestly can't say like I'm like mad at them for it, because you got to do what you got to do to protect your people. But it's also not fun because they're losing money. We're losing like March Madness was missed this year. I love March Madness. Making a bracket and like always competing with friends. Now we're going to lose that for like at least like the fall semester. Like, it's done. And as you said, Big Ten is going to be only Big Ten. Ivy League is done. If you're a Brown or Harvard fan, I'm sorry. You're missing your Brown versus Yale Bowl this year. And all these like crazy things that just are so unfortunately connected to like the world we live in.
Yeah, man. I mean, as a fellow college student, I'm not a college athlete, but I can just feel for these players, and obviously, you know, high school players all around the nation and stuff. It's hard because people were going to blossom in their senior seasons that may not have even gotten any offers their junior year. And now you look at it, a lot of people miss out, a lot of players miss out, a lot of parents miss out. The whole experience is different now. And we don't know when it's going to get back to normal, if there will ever be a normal, you know. And it's tough. It's a whole other situation and topic that, you know, you could go hours and on hours on hours about, and you'll still not find a solution. You know, I think the NCAA is kind of, I guess by not talking is a good thing, because, you know, they're trying to figure it out before they actually go out and say, hey, you know what, do this and do that. Either way, the NCAA is always going to get criticized. The multi-billion-dollar organization, a lot of corruption in there, a lot of bias in there, I guess you could say. And it's weird, man. It's going to be weird not being able to watch Alabama versus Auburn in the Iron Bowl. It's going to be weird not watching, you know, all these other bowl games and stuff. You know, no football playoffs. Clemson, are they going to win it this year? No, they can't. They literally can't. If you're not going to let these teams play, they literally can't do anything. And I'm sure, you know, maybe we'll see maybe some sort of Nick Saban say, hey, you know what, my team's going to play by myself and we'll face like LSU in this game and blah, blah, blah. Maybe we'll see some sort of thing like that. But reality is we probably won't. And it's really unfortunate. Maybe we'll get sports back in the spring for them. And who knows, man. It's just a really unfortunate thing. But with that being said, you know, we're just going to wrap it up here. Any final thoughts, Des?
I was just kind of thinking about what about like the pro status, like breakout college player who's now not getting drafted. The Joe Burrow story wouldn't happen if this happened a year ago. Like, Joe Burrow wouldn't be being drafted this high. He would have been a fourth round prospect like he was supposed to be. And we would not have the fun Cincinnati Bengal. And yeah, as you said, it's like really unfortunate. And I think, like, as you said, let's leave it there. Sad times.
Yeah.
Don't get too sad.
And that was another episode of the Sports Deluxe Podcast. So grateful that you guys listened. Me and Valdez had a great time recording it, buzzing through the whole episode. And it was just fun talking about some great topics. And obviously, Dez is my new co-host, if you couldn't pick that one up. So me and Dez are going forward on this podcast, and it's going to be great. You know, we just love the fan base, and we have a great vision for the podcast. Can't wait for you guys to continue to listen. We're going to be scheduling some different episodes, and we got some new interviews coming up for you guys soon. So grateful for you guys to be listening, and God bless.